In these first few minutes before Mass, we're going to go over, as we have the last couple of weeks, the new Roman Missal texts and music settings that are coming up. You'll see them in the box in the back. Pick one up and become familiar with it. If you'd like one right now, our choir members can give one to you, because there's slightly different words for the Gloria. We're going to go over the Gloria right now. Anybody want one? Or do you have them all? They're all scattered around already? Okay, well, if you need one, raise your hand, and Catherine will come and bring it to you. This is a setting by Tony Alonso of the New Gloria, which is the most extensive textual changes, so that's going to be the biggest challenge for us. We'll be doing the chorus several times, so let me start in the... Christine and Suzanne and I will introduce you to this tune. Catherine will join us in a minute. Several times, because it keeps repeating between the three verses that we're going to do. So here we go again.
Father,
actually start using this in the Mass on October 23rd. The Archbishop has said we can begin to do that. I'd like to introduce you now to the new Sanctus, the new Holy, which is not quite so different in terms of words, but it still requires a new setting. This one is by David Haas, who also wrote Mass of Light, which many people really love. This one is the Mass for a New World, and the Holy goes like this. This is the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The outline for today's Mass can be found on page 118 in the Breaking Bread book. Our celebrant for today's Mass is Father O'Leary. Our entrance song is in the Breaking Bread book, number 407, All Are Welcome. Again, number 407, All Are Welcome. Please stand.
Sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. I don't know how many of you were here. Was it 4 or 5 weeks ago? September the 11th was the date I was supposed to be here, and I wasn't here. Unfortunately, I misplaced the date. And so I said Mass at another parish, but I was supposed to offer Mass here. In fact, I missed two parishes. So I apologize, but I'm here for today anyway. And I think I was supposed to be here a couple of weeks ago too, but I was bumped by the bishop. That's okay, we're bumped by the bishop. Let us pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus says, not in today's gospel, but in another passage, if you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. He wants us to be sincere. He wants us to speak not only with our lips, but also from our heart. And so he tells the story of the two who were told by their father to go out into the fields. One said yes, but didn't go. The other one said no, but changed his mind. Often enough, we can say yes to the Lord, but perhaps not sincerely, or we may even disobey him, even though we have said yes. That is the definition of a sin, of course. So for the times, perhaps, when we have not given to the Lord our total will, our obedience, we ask for his forgiveness and mercy. Lord, you are a just judge.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ Jesus, you cannot deceive nor be deceived.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you do not judge by outward appearance.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Creation according to your law of love.
May we truly love one another and come to perfection in the eternal life prepared for us. We ask this to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, you say, the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life, since he has turned away from all sin that he has committed. He shall surely live and shall not die. The word of the Lord.
Psalm response this morning, remember your mercies, O Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found in human appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and said the very same thing. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two, in your opinion, did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe in him." The Gospel of the Lord. Archbishop Vigneron has asked that three Sundays be devoted to a fuller explanation of the fundraising campaign, which is being offered to you during this month. Actually, the entire archdiocese will be participating, or has already participated, because the parishes are being divided now according to sections, and there are different waves, they're calling waves, or parts of the campaign. So St. Claude and St. Thecla, of course, are now being given the information about this very, very special fundraising effort. But I would like to at least say a word about the gospel. The gospel has to do with truthfulness, with honesty, with sincerity, with being what you should be. One son said yes and didn't go. The other son said no, but went. Which one did the father's will? The one who actually went into the vineyard. Jesus wants us to be people who say yes and mean yes. Not to be dissemblers, not to be phonies, not to say one thing and believe another, or to pretend, let's say, that we are what we are not. You hear a lot about character these days with this election campaign. Character is important. Not only where a man stands politically, but what he or she is. And part of character is, can this person be trusted? Does this person really believe what is said? Unfortunately, we have people in Washington these days who are not sincere, who are not genuine. And I think we are able to detect those who are the phonies. Jesus wants us to be genuine, to say what we mean, to do what we say we are going to do. And so if we are Catholic, then we live the Catholic faith, not just profess it, not just say the creed during Mass, for instance, but to truly live what Jesus wants us to live by the scriptures, and not what we may feel we want to do. So character is important. And today you hear a lot about political correctness. Political correctness is really kind of lying, isn't it? It is to say something that you think somebody wants to hear, or to do things the way you think they want them to be done. So it's not sincere. The Lord, of course, does not want PC, political correctness, to be part of our life. That we are real, that we do what we say we are going to do, that we believe what we say we believe. And therefore, it's very important when you come to Mass to listen intently to the words of the Mass, to realize that you are offering yourself with Jesus to the Father for the coming week. You say, Lord, I know what I should do, and I will try genuinely to live by the gospel. And we know that the Lord will give us the grace and the help in order to be real, to live our faith as we should, and hopefully draw others into the Catholic Church through our example. Now, Charlene, there you are. We'll have you give a fuller explanation a little bit now about this very special campaign.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Good morning. As you may have heard, we at St. Thecla Parish have begun a stewardship appeal aimed at increasing our parish's ability to carry out its mission by increasing each member's level of giving of time, talent, and treasure. It's my task and my pleasure today to talk to you about the treasure part of our stewardship appeal. Specifically, the request that each of us prayerfully consider a sustained increase in our weekly offertory giving. I didn't grow up in this parish, and I'm sure many of you haven't grown up in this parish. Some of you have. I grew up in a parish in Detroit, St. Margaret Mary's, and their grade school was 1 through 8. They didn't have a high school. I attended a local high school after 8th grade. Which was St. Anthony's. And very early on, my mother taught me concepts of stewardship, not just through words, but also through actions. While I was in grade school, it was the privilege of all the girls who were on the honor roll, they could volunteer to clean the church. We were in teams, and one would clean the sacristy, and then one would clean the altar, and then we would switch every other week. I would also volunteer my mother to drive the sisters to appointments when they had no other way to get there. And even though at times it was not very convenient for my mom, we, and I say we because I always tagged along, would manage to make the time to take them wherever they needed to go. My parents would always use their offertory envelopes to make their weekly contribution, even though my dad's job was seasonal, and it wasn't easy a lot of times. Then in my children's envelope, I would put part of my allowance that I earned during the week. And putting my envelope in the usher's basket when it came by always made me feel like I was doing something little for the church. My mom always was a source of encouragement to give what I could and to help where I could. These actions by my mom sowed the seed of stewardship in me long before I realized what stewardship really was. The more I became aware throughout my life how richly God has blessed us, the more natural it became for me to want to give back through my involvement in areas that needed attention, whether it would be in the parish, at work, with my family, friends, or my neighbors. And like many of you, we were comfortable with increasing our gifts of time and talent. But when it came to treasure, I think you might agree that many of us are still giving at the level our parents did years ago, though they sacrificed much more than we are to do today. There always seems to be something more pressing that requires our attention, and the parish gets what treasure is left. That's why the stewardship appeal provides such a welcome opportunity to consider prayerfully whether we can indeed give more. There are a number of ways to increase our giving. Many Catholics are drawn to the biblical model of sacrificial giving, traditionally known as the tithe or one-tenth. Those who tithe commit to making sustained increases in their weekly offering so that they are giving back one-tenth of what they receive from God, which is 5% to the parish and 5% to other charitable efforts. That level of giving calls for sacrifice, but it will not cost us anything we cannot afford to share. There are many other models of giving to consider, and each parishioner and household must reach the prayerful choice that is right for them. With this stewardship appeal, each of us is asked to give, but we are reminded that it's equal sacrifice, not equal amounts of giving, that matters. Now I want to get to some specifics. Our offertory collections have been declining over the past few years. And if you were at last week's Mass, Father Doug told you that it has been declining. And it's been declining on an average of $3,000 per week. While we have made the necessary budgetary adjustments, the cost to run our parish continues to increase, just like everybody's does in their household. Let's face it, the parish buildings and the equipment are aging, just like us. Updates and improvements are needed to maintain them. It is our hope with the increased weekly offertory, we will be able to address these items, including the roofs, snow removal equipment, the heating and air conditioning units in the churches. We would also like to continue to provide all the ministries that take place here in our parish. If you will take a minute to look at the handout the ushers have distributed, you can see that there are many different ways we can fulfill the treasure part of the stewardship appeal. If you take a look at the back, there are guidelines for giving. If you are currently giving $5 per week, you might consider increasing to $8. Those giving $10 may increase to $14. These may seem like small increases, but imagine the power that these $3 or $4 weekly increases sustained over time can have. If every parishioner commits to a regular weekly increase of any amount, it will strengthen our mission much more than a few one-time offerings of $25 or $50 could. There are currently 1,900 households that receive offertory envelopes here at St. Thecla Parish, and 600 households that actually use them regularly. Another goal of our stewardship appeal is to increase the number of regular contributors. If you are not currently making a weekly offering, you can increase your commitment by 100% by starting to use your offertory envelopes. And once you have established the stewardship habit of giving on a weekly basis, don't forget to make up for the weeks that you miss by giving double the following week. We do offer an electronic giving program called Online Giving, and you can find more information about online giving in the lantern. Please look through these questions and answers on your handout for more information. This week, every household will be receiving a letter from Father Doug about our stewardship appeal. And next weekend is Commitment Weekend, when Father Doug will guide us through the process of responding to the stewardship appeal by completing an intention card. It's important that all parishioners, even those who are unable to increase their weekly offering, respond by completing a card next week. Thank you for your attention and for continuing your prayerful consideration of how we may grow in lifestyle and gratitude that is stewardship. If you would please join me now in praying together the stewardship prayers. The copies are found at the ends of the pews, if you could just pass them along. And when we're finished praying, if you could leave the prayer cards back at the end of the pews for the next Mass, that would be greatly appreciated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God of love, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us, your children. Through the intercession of Mary, Mother of God, and St. Thecla, our patron, may we respond in kind for all the good things you have given to us. Teach us always, Lord, to give generously, to support, sustain our parish, and the work you call us to do as your disciples. Amen. Thank you again, and may God guide you and give you abundant blessings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for listening. Your hopeful increase. I remember when I heard about this campaign, I said, this is crazy. This is the worst time to have any kind of campaign because the economy is so unsettled. But the second thought, I thought, well, maybe because it is so difficult, it's maybe the better time because it will mean a sacrifice for our Catholics. This will be a way of supporting the work of the Catholic Church, each individual parish. Your parish is really a very fine one. I was at St. Pius for some years, and when I went there, as someone on the first Sunday said, Father, you know, we are in debt. And I said, oh, yes, we owe $1 million to the diocese. No one told me about that when they offered the parish. But they were very fortunate in the sense that they were very generous there. They paid back the debt. They had a campaign called Dent the Debt. And so they were able to pay back everything. So, and when I was at St. Hubert, they built a church. And we were all of a sudden $300,000 in debt. So I have no debt. And the people have responded so very generously to that appeal that we made. So here too, you have not had the easiest time as a parish, that your name has been changed, and now you're no longer St. Claus, but St. Claus Chapel, St. Thecla Parish. But I would hope that this chapel would be able to sustain itself financially and will not be closed, as some parishes are being closed. because of lack of parishioners or lack of support. So this is a good, viable parish, and I hope that you will remain solid. And if you can, make a sacrifice and increase your contributions to the parish. Sorry for talking too long, but if you'd like to stand, and we'll profess our faith together sincerely by saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we acknowledge that we are all sinners, and we fall far short of the goodness that God expects of us. Let us pray to the Lord now for the gifts of honesty and integrity.
For the church, that we may more and more put on the attitude of Christ and empty ourselves into God's loving care and service of others, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace, that the passion and death of Jesus may stir the hearts of many who work for a nonviolent resolution of conflicts, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who serve in difficult and distant places, particularly relief workers and members of the military, that God will guide their service and bring them home safely to their families, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a healing of our attitudes, that God will free us from the control of pride, selfishness, and glory, and help us to serve others with love, patience, and humility, we pray to the Lord. For St. Thecla parishioners, that all gathered here may recognize God's presence in one another, we pray to the Lord. For the sick, especially those on our parish sick list, that they may receive the renewing and comforting touch of God, we pray to the Lord. For the deceased, that Christ will lead them into eternal glory, we pray to the Lord. For our parish community, that we will respond generously to the stewardship appeal, we pray to the Lord. For those prayers which we hold in the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
God of tenderness and compassion, we ask you to hear our prayers and to help us to walk in your ways of justice and honesty. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As we prepare the gifts, let us sing the servant song, number 375.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters, let us now pray that the sacrifice we offer together may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
Amen. God of mercy, accept our offering and make it a source of blessing for us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, all powerful and ever living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Out of love for sinful man, he humbled himself to be born of the Virgin. By suffering on the cross, he freed us from unending death, and by rising from the dead, he gave us eternal life. And so, with all the choirs of angels in heaven, we proclaim your glory and join in their unending hymn of praise. That they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was given up to death, a death he freely accepted, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. This life-giving bread, this saving cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. May all of us who share in the body and blood of Christ be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember your church throughout the world. Help us grow in love together with Benedict, our Pope, Alan, our Archbishop, his assistant bishops, the clergy, the religious, and all your people. Remember our brothers and sisters who have gone to their rest in the hope of rising again. Bring them and all the departed into the light of your presence. Have mercy on us all. Make us worthy to share eternal life with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with the apostles, and with all the saints who have done your will throughout the ages. May we praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. And grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be with each one of you.
Also with you.
Let us now share some sign of peace with those around us. Deceived, Happy are we who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed.
Our second communion hymn, Jesus the Lord, number 744.
Let us pray. Lord, may this Eucharist in which we proclaim the death of Christ bring us salvation and make us one with him in glory, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Almighty God, bless each one of us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This Mass is ended. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.
One quick announcement. A grief group for all who have experienced deaths in 2011 with board-certified professionals, Pastor Father Lawrence Bentley, will be held at St. Cloud Chapel on November 8th, 15th, and the 22nd from 7 to 8:15 p.m. Then on November 10th and 17th from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. Please contact the parish office to register. Please see the lantern for the faith sharing questions of the week and more details of upcoming parish events.
As we're sent forth, let us sing Soon and Very Soon, number 621.